Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out.
One of my friends asked me if writing my book, like if the responses I had gotten made me think that everyone was bisexual, but it's actually made me think the opposite. It's made me think it's a very unique experience to be bisexual. And if you think you're bisexual, you probably are. Like, you might not be, but that's what I usually tell people is like, if you're like, am I bi? Am I not bi? Like, that's a bisexual thing to do.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So, question for you. How do you know if you're bisexual? Well, in honor of Bisexuality Visibility Day, author Jen Winston helps me answer just that. In her book, Greedy, Notes from a Bisexual Who Wants Too Much, Jen reveals how she came to terms with her bisexuality in a world that loves to slap stereotypes on it. You're greedy, you're slutty, and constantly confused. Whether you're a vulva owner in a heterosexual partnership who wants to explore same-sex fantasies, or a penis owner who has recently come out as gay but still has thoughts about the opposite sex, we answer those questions and more in this episode. And Jen helps us all understand why sexuality is about so much more than who you're sleeping with. All right, intentions with Emily for each episode. Join me in setting an intention for the show. So right now, you chose to listen to this show. What do you want to get out of this episode? How will this episode help you? Well, my intention is to help you open up your mind to sexuality and relationship preferences, whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, polyamorous, monogamous, or somewhere in between. Our sexuality is a journey that deserves compassion and patience. I'm very excited, you guys, because you're all invited. I'm doing a live event in Los Angeles with my good friend, Dr. Jennifer Freed. She's a psychological astrologer. You've probably heard the episodes I've done with her. And it's at Dynasty Typewriter on Friday, October 7th at 6 p.m. We'll be talking about her new book, A Map to Your Soul. We'll be talking about how to really nurture yourself and just live your potential with this really accessible guide in her new book. And we talk about the elements like fire, earth, air, and water. We talk about astrology. And Jen is Goop's resident psychological astrologer. She's fantastic. I can't wait to see you there. We will put a ticket link in the show notes. So I hope to see you all there. If you want to ask me a question, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Jen Winston, she, her, they, them, is a writer and bisexual whose work focuses on dating, queerness, and the millennial condition. They are the author of the critically acclaimed book, Greedy, Notes from a Bisexual Who Wants Too Much, which Paper Mag wrote that Jen's debut is at once relatable, laugh-out-loud funny, and refreshingly illuminating. BuzzFeed named Greedy a best LGBTQ book of 2021. Jen newly lives in Los Angeles with her partner, dogs, and iPhone. You can follow Jen on Twitter, Instagram, and alas, TikTok at Generous with a J. Jen Winston, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. This is great.
so great. We have so many people who need your help today. We're going to talk about a big topic that you are the expert in. We're talking about bisexuality.
Yes, it's my favorite topic, and it's something that people do not talk about very much. And I, growing up, I needed people to talk about it for me to be able to come out as bi. And so I'm trying to talk about it as much as I can.
People really don't, I suppose. I mean, I always think people don't talk about anything when it comes to sex.
It's true.
But bisexuality is particularly marginalized.
Well, I think there's like so many reasons for that. I mean, they call it bi erasure. Everyone's probably heard that term.
Bi erasure. I don't know that everyone's heard that. Yeah.
Oh, well, and there's also bi invisibility, which is why this is Bi Visibility Week. The reason that those like holidays, you know, all these like visibility days, they feel like just like Instagram holidays or whatever, which they like sort of are. It's so important for bi people to like be out and name ourselves as bi, because the label bisexual is like so often erased. One thing that I like to talk about is in the media, there are so many like depictions of fluid sexuality. Those exist, which is great. There's not enough, but like there's some, but a lot of times those aren't named as bisexual, and that makes it seem like bisexuality is a behavior rather than an identity. And in my case, I was like desperate to have queer sex, and I like couldn't make it happen for myself for a while. So I just thought I wasn't queer because I like couldn't close the deal. And it's really interesting how like that action ends up helping you define yourself. For worse, I guess, in this case.
You're right. There aren't a lot of depictions of it. We have a lot of people who also have questions about this all the time. Like, where do I start? How do I come out? How do I know if I'm bisexual? So what are some of the things that you're helping people break down? Like, what would you say is like the top question you get asked about bisexuality?
When I said I was writing a book on bisexuality, a lot of people were like, oh, that's cool, but isn't everyone bisexual? Like, what are you going to say? The first time someone said that to me, I was like, that doesn't feel good, and I don't know why. And then I thought about it, and I realized it's because it implies that bisexuality is not a big deal, or it's not something worth talking about. It's not an identity worth like living out loud, for lack of a better cliche. That would be the first thing I would say is like, not everyone is bisexual. In fact, one of my friends asked me if writing my book, like if the responses I had gotten made me think that everyone was bisexual, but it's actually made me think the opposite. It's made me think it's a very unique experience to be bisexual. And if you think you're bisexual, you probably are. Like, you might not be, but that's what I usually tell people is like, if you're like, am I bi? Am I not bi? Like, that's a bisexual thing to do.
Why do you think the confusion exists where people think that everyone's bi, but they're not? Like, does that come from just that sexuality is on a spectrum, like the whole Kinsey scale, and that gets confusing? What do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I think it's partially like due to that fluidity, but like technically, if you're not like a 1 or a 6 on the Kinsey scale, like you're somewhere in the middle, like you may not be bi, you may be like pan or queer. I personally think of the definitions of bisexuality and pansexuality is very similar. My bisexuality includes all genders, and I am attracted to all genders.
Yeah, but how is it different than pansexuality then?
It's really like the same. Yeah. It's really the same. And pansexuality sort of emerged out of like the assumption that bisexuality was not gender inclusive. And in some...
Because it is binary, essentially. It's bi,
yeah, but it has the bi, but there are a lot of different bi, like, not to get like fully into queer theory, but there's like a lot of bi scholars who will say that the bi and bisexuality refers to like the straight and gay communities that you find yourself between, or there are all these other binaries that it like plays off of. But my definition of bisexuality is that it's like somewhere in the liminal space between two options that weren't options I necessarily created myself. You know, they were just things that were given to me. So it's about like finding stability in that state of flux is what I say.
Jen, I feel like we could talk about this all day, but I want to make sure we answer some of these voicemails. And I know your knowledge is going to be a huge help to our listeners. This is from Bianca in Orlando.
Hi, Dr. Emily. My name is Bianca. I am 26 years old. I live in Orlando, Florida, and I am trying to figure out if I may like women, so I feel a little bit curious, and my partner is completely fine with it. My approach has been to get a few applications that I'm really not familiar with because I've been with my partner for 7 years. my overall concern is, how do I start? Do I just make my move with someone? I even considered having my current partner meet her. I guess my thought is, where do I start and how do I feel? I'm very attracted to women and I didn't know I would be, which is something that is new to me this year. And just a little backstory, I've been with my partner for 7 years. So it's a little bit shocking, but it is also fun because maybe I will experiment. I feel like my partner needs some assistance with oral. And perhaps that might be why I'm leaning towards being bi-curious, because perhaps they might be able to pleasure me in a way that he doesn't know how to. And I shared my podcast, At Least Your Channel, with him. And does he really listen to everything that I send him? Probably not, because some of them are long. But hey, I do because I enjoy it. And your podcast is very educational. And of course, I want to receive pleasure and give pleasure. So that's where I'm at. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your evening.
All right. That is Bianca. Okay. She's 26 years old. So this is interesting. So she's been with a partner. I'm going to assume that she's with a penis owner because she just says my partner. So I'm going to assume that that's
and
what
she's
it is.
He.
And she said he. She did. She was he. Okay. But where do you start with? I think a lot of people are like, I think I'm bisexual, but I don't know. Do I have to label myself before I have sex? Do I have to sex and then label myself? Does the label matter? What would you say here? How can we help her?
That is a really good question. And I think Bianca's question is like a huge one. One time I posted like an Instagram story question asking for bisexual women who were in relationships that presented as straight to like tell me about their experience. And I got like so many more responses than I've ever gotten to something like that. Like so many people are in that situation and don't know how to move forward. So the first thing I would say is like, Bianca is not alone at all. Second, I would say like the labeling question is a big one. I think a lot of times people don't know if it's worth it to come out, especially if you don't even want to have sex with someone of the same gender or another gender. If you don't want to do that, but you still feel like you're bisexual, like you, there's still a reason that you might want to come out to just like be your full self. And that's what I found was that it was so much more amazing to come out as bi than I thought it would be. Cause I was like, this is not a big deal. Like, it doesn't matter. It's really just like, I like to have threesomes. Like, that's what I'm telling my coworkers now, I guess. Like, that's what I thought. But it really just helped me just feel like I could be my true self in so many situations. And there's another thing that happens with bisexuality where people often think that because you're bi, you want an open relationship. Like, if you're a woman in a relationship with a man and you say that you're bi, the assumption might be that you want to go hook up with someone, but maybe you don't. Like, maybe you just want to be yourself. So that's like why the overarching conversation really matters.
So if you're a woman in a relationship with a man and you say you're bi, you're like, okay, well then I guess I could assume that you're open. I could just assume that right now you've decided to be with this person, to be with the man, and maybe give up. Like, you can still be bisexual, but you're not going to act on it because you're not in an open relationship. But that's okay, too. Like, you could still, right? So
there's this, like, interesting thing because, like, anytime you're in a monogamous relationship, you're, like, theoretically giving something up. Like, it's not exclusive to bisexuality. And there's this thing that happens with bisexuality where it becomes, like, the scapegoat for all of these truths in the world. For example, being greedy, that's the title of my book. Because that's a bisexual stereotype, but it's a stereotype that's like, it's only bad if you think being promiscuous is bad. So it's like, actually, there's this deeper truth about the way we see sex that is reflected in the way we stigmatize bisexuality.
Yeah, so true. So greedy is your book. Notes from a Bisexual Who Wants Too Much. Why is it greedy? Because you're going to have it all?
Yeah. I mean, it's often said that bisexuals are just greedy. It's like, and a lot of times.
These people?
Yeah, I know.
Who
I know.
Says that?
It's also like, what's wrong with that? Like, I think that's the bigger thing. The reason that I wrote my book is because a lot of times you see the bi community, which is not much of a community, which is a whole other thing. There aren't like a lot of bi like gatherings for bi people because of like everything we've talked about. Like, it's not, we're not like very connected. Although I like love bi people.
You like, probably are, though. I would feel like now you're the priestess, perhaps, of the bi world.
Yes. If you're looking for bi friends, you can call friends. Me.
Bi friends. Check out Jen. She is your bi friend.
I am here.
There isn't a community. So then where do you start then? Like, where would Bianca, because she's like, oh, I just came to this realization. And I think what I would say is surround yourself with some like-minded voices, find people on social media that to follow.
But I also had a really hard time being able to have my first queer sexual experience because I was so in my head about it. And I was like, I don't deserve to be here. I had so much imposter syndrome.
How did you get into that experience? How do you start? That's what I'm saying. How did you just follow yourself?
I was so blunt. I went up to-
I love this.
I went up to someone at a club and was I really need to have queer sex. Are you interested? And the person was yes. And that was my first time. And the other was a friend.
So you just went up to somebody. So you were bold. You just were I want to have sex.
Yeah, because I thought that it would help me understand who I was. And I think maybe that's something Bianca is also dealing with is if you can figure this thing out, then it might help you understand other parts of your marriage or your relationship. Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is talk to your partner. And if you feel like it's safe to come out to them and let them know that this is something you're interested in, but also just part of who you are, that's a really important part of the coming out process is to say that it's more than just a sexual desire. It's who you are. And also maybe it's not.
I think she said she downloaded the apps and she tried with that. So is there an app that you recommend people to kind of start playing?
On all of them, you can add your preferences. I found it was really difficult to have casual sex with women because I got in my own head about how women deserve to be treated. And I was I can't give a woman what she needs. So I can't be here.
Well, I have a question though. This is the question that everyone wants to know right now, I'm sure. But so you had your first queer experience with someone, with a woman, vulva. Okay. So how did you know what to do? Vulva. I mean, I know because you have one, you have a vagina. I mean, I know I've dabbled. So I've had my experiences and it was I'm trying to think. So how I would answer that is well, you kind of know you're where you're I have this, I've worked this. But it's still, how did you feel in your experience?
Oh my God. I was so out of my element. There's a chapter in my book about how the way I masturbate is weird because I lay on my stomach, which it's not weird, I've learned.
No, common.
Common, yes. But I always was very insecure about it because I was this isn't a hot way to masturbate. Boo-hoo. But because of that, I only know how to work a specific type of vulva or a specific type of clitoris location. I was just very upfront about not knowing what I was doing. A lot of people enjoy shepherding you. I think ultimately, and this is something my current partner, when we first started hooking up, I was I don't really know what I'm doing. And they were it's the same. All sex is the same. And I thought that was really, really interesting because it helped me just kind of take all this gender and sexuality stuff out of it that I'd been so freaking out about over for my whole life and just live in the moment and communicate and pleasure each other. And so, yeah.
It kind of is the same. You might kiss, you might, it's arousal, getting attracted, the energy builds. You don't go right to the genitals. You should never do that anyway, which I always say, build up and then explore.
Yeah.
Play. What if you pay attention?
Yeah.
Notice. And,
well, that's actually something that I really love about queer sex that I have learned is that and I was just reading this thing about story structure and plot and how it follows the arc of a – I say I was reading this thing. I was watching a TikTok. Yeah, that's what you say now, right?
Exactly.
So I was watching a TikTok about story structure and it was traditional plot follows the arc of the male orgasm. It builds and then it tapers off. But then there's this push toward feminine story structure that's more there's a peak here and another peak here and a bigger peak here. And it's, you kind of have to invent it. And that's what I really love about my sex life now is it feels there's not a script we follow and then we roll over and go to bed. It's and you can have this with any combination of genitals. I think queer sex is not exclusive to two people with the same genitalia. It's more of a queering the idea of sex and how can you really focus on what feels right?
The goal is not even orgasm. It's like stop and start and pleasure. It's not linear. It's okay if you both get to rouse and then like make a sandwich. Come back to sex. Maybe not. Come back later. Like
love a sandwich.
To me, that's the hot. My kids got really hungry. And then you come back to it. So very helpful. Thanks, Jen. Okay, should we get into another call here?
Hi, Emily. My name is Katerina. I'm from Australia. I'm 32 years old and I would consider myself a pansexual. Now, my question is, I'm in a primary relationship with a man, but I'm also dating a woman. There is an end date to that though because she will be leaving soon. But I guess my question is, I have a way deeper connection and intimate and the sex is a lot better with the female. So sometimes I feel disconnected in my main relationship with the man and feel like she doesn't understand that. I'm very transparent with both of them. I guess you could say I'm polyamorous. Yeah, so I guess how do I navigate that space and communicate with better and I guess reassure all partners, especially around things like jealousy. Yeah, it's a complex one, but I mean, I'm happy and I'm enjoying it. it would be awesome to talk to you more about it. Thank you.
So she's a deeper connection now to the woman, to the female, and then feels disconnected from the man. First of all, her partner, I think she probably has learned a lot. How do you bring that into the relationship with the man? Because she probably learned stuff here, but they're open, so polyamorous. And then the other thing is about jealousy. So there's kind of like a two-part question here about how do you navigate jealousy? But then also, like, I don't know, I could see that happening where you just kind of, there's like a depth of being seen with somebody, you know, they know, you know, whatever, they just fell into a beautiful sexual experience. And then now she's back with her dude. Like, what do I do? What do I do now?
Yeah.
Anything relatable there for you?
I mean, I'm going to try to focus on the parts that are I'm like qualified because I don't know that I know how to navigate like jealousy in a – I think that's important though because a lot of times people will think that bisexuality is like you know, that those two things go hand in hand. But like as we talked about earlier, they can be really – or like sexual fluidity and being polyamorous are like two very different things. But I would ask Katerina if her male partner knows that's how she identifies. Even if he knows that she's in a relationship with a woman, he might not know like that part of her sexuality and like what that means to her. And that could be a really good entry point to that conversation about like to bring in some of that intimacy.
To say like this is how I'm identifying now, like this is part of who I am. It's not just like a
And like flippant. How, when did you know? You know, like there are all those things that when you have a like queer like if when you have like a queer romance, I guess like in this scenario, it's sort of like those questions are like there's a subtext there that like you know it's like. They understand parts of you that other people might not because of that. And because you have that shared like experience of hiding something, I guess, from society. And so to be able to bring your primary partner into the fold on that is like a really beautiful thing to do. I love how you said to bring the intimacy from that relationship to this. And yeah.
Yeah. To kind of share what it was. So there isn't maybe some more jealousy and just saying like, this is what I've learned and I want to share with you. Because if they're already polyamorous means that she says she's transparent with both of them. And I guess you could say I'm polyamorous, which means that she would have a primary partner and have other partners. So there's a lot of different ways people date as poly now too. I think it would just be like sharing in a way that's like, I want to share with you. Like what I would say is like, this is this beautiful experience I had that felt intense and wonderful. And I would love to like share with you some of the experiences we had and kind of like show you what that is. Cause I'd love for us to have some of that depth. And then the jealousy thing is, you know, I think that that's, wow. I mean, that's really just about having like understanding that jealousy is not like a fixed state or like your jealousy or you're not. It's something that I think that people realize you can work through jealousy. It's not a place that you have to live. I think we're told like if you're jealous, we have to act on it and it's horrible. But there is also some depth that comes from understanding, going like a layer deeper, like what is my jealousy? Okay, I'm afraid my partner is going to leave me. I'm afraid that I'm not good enough. I'm afraid that – and then if you can really sit there with those emotions with a trusting partner and kind of get into it, like the couples that I know that have been able to transcend the jealousy, although it never – completely goes away. They're the ones who really got there. Like, you know, babe, when you leave or when you're on a date with someone else, like let's say you're poly and then I don't hear from you for a few hours, I start to get jealous and feel like you're having a really great time. So can you, can we make a boundary or rule that you text text me 3 hours in, like set an alarm on your phone that I need to hear from you. Or you start to ask for what you want to assuage your fears, I suppose, and the jealous. But it's a lot of work. It's from couples who can kind of communicate. Or maybe if you feel like, I don't want to hear everything after your date. This is where couples, again, set boundaries. Like, so you're like, maybe the partner comes home, like, I had amazing sex with this person. Like, oh, I don't want to hear that. That makes me feel jealous. So I think it's to bring jealousy into the fold and like kind of talk about it and break it apart and put it back together. That's what I recommend for people because I've seen couples transcend that. Truly.
I have a book recommendation. That's not even my own book. It's called Open by Rachel Krantz. Maybe you've talked about it, read it. It's a memoir about an open relationship, and it sort of through her own story talks about like the importance of that communication and what happens when it's not there.
Good. That's a great recommendation. After the break, author Jen Winston and I will answer more of your questions about bisexuality. So don't go anywhere. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Let's get into Zach.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Hi, my name is Zach, and I am a 21-year-old gay male from Nebraska. Recently, I've been having confusing thoughts about my sexuality. Basically, so I came out in October of last year, and for the most part, I've been happy about my change, even though I had to break up with my ex of 4.5 years. These past few months, I've been doing fantastic. I've started to be more open to my feminine side. I've really been accepted into the community itself, but recently I've been having these weird thoughts about women as well. Basically, it's almost as if my mind is trying to force the connection with women and sex, even though I have no desire whatsoever to sleep with or be in a romantic relationship with a woman. But the thing is, when I have these thoughts, I try to push them away as much as possible, but they just continue to build in my head, and it doesn't go away until I'm actually try to be open to the idea of me being bisexual. But the thing is, whenever I do start to be open to the idea, the thoughts just automatically go away. It's almost as if my mind is afraid that I am bi, even though if I was, I would be completely okay with that. But the thing is, that just doesn't feel right either.
So Zach is still working it out. The interesting thing here is that we all think our sexuality is just set. And I think at any time, at any age, at any place in your life, it can sort of move along a spectrum, or you could, sometimes you might be attracted to, or it changes, I guess, it evolves. It can evolve over time, and to be open to that. And I think Zach's experiencing it all at once now and at 21. And I think that's okay. So I kind of want to normalize his process that he's articulating here, that it's okay. There's not like you put like your stake in the ground. And you're like, I am bi, I am gay. Like, it's okay. I wish we didn't have any of these labels, because I see it as like, who are you attracted to now? What turned you on today? We don't know what it could be tomorrow, because that's the way our mind works. So the one thing I want to say here is that there's a lot going on here, because there's the conditioning, right? We are all, I guess, responsive to whatever our earliest memories are of arousal. Like whatever it was, whether it was the porn you watched, what we were attracted to, what maybe we were attracted to like a teacher in third grade, and that's what we think about, or that's where we first started to shape it. But in places where we might not even remember, there are these little kernels of sexual knowledge and wisdom and attraction that builds up. So he might be having just some like throwbacks to like early conditioning of watching porn, or of being forced to maybe be attracted to women because that's what he thought was the right thing. So I feel like I want him to just release all of it. And I think he's starting to, when he says like, oh, when I let go of it, that it doesn't really have as much weight. So I think it just kind of, his mind and his body sort of have to kind of connect here on it. But what would you have to say to this sort of fluctuating of thoughts? Am I not? You probably can speak to this. Yes.
I mean, now I'm thinking about my earliest sexual. Yeah, I'm thinking about the movie Swim Fan. Do you remember that movie? It was so terrible.
Tell me.
I mean, no, there was just like a scene. Eliza Dushku was in it. And I don't remember the guy's name. But they just had like a, that's like the, when you talk about early arousal memories, that pops into my head.
Yeah, well, that's so good, but there that's we important are. To like go into that. Seriously, but another time. But
yeah, it's very funny. But yeah, I totally agree. I think like labels, they get a bad rap, and for like good reason, sometimes because they can be like, it can be really hard to feel like you deserve it. Like that's part of why I didn't come out as bi, because I was like, I'm not queer enough to deserve this label, when that's not a thing. And that's like something I'm imposing, because at the end of the day, the label is just for you and to help you find out like more about yourself and connect with other people who also connect with that label, which is why earlier I was like, whatever label you use is right for you, because at the end of the day, it's for you. It's not for anyone else. And so I think there's a little bit of biphobia at play, which is not to like put you up, Zach, because everybody has a lot of internalized biphobia. But I think there's some hesitancy to being bi. And like I was saying earlier, it's not like you have to want to act on it. You can be a man and only have sex with men and be bisexual. Like you never have to prove your bisexuality with a sexual experience. And so I guess I would say, what's the problem with identifying as bi, other than maybe like all the stigmas that we have about being bi? And I totally agree with you. Like there's, for me, it was really hard to tell like if I liked having threesomes a lot. Like that was my entry point, humble brag. And I was having a lot of threesomes, and I wasn't sure if I was being if I was bisexual for myself, or if I was doing it because I knew men like to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe something similar is happening here, where it's like, you're not sure if you're attracted to women because that's what society tells you to do, or because you actually are. I think a lot of times there is a little bit of ourselves in those things. So I would just encourage a little bit of unlearning around bisexuality, like taking a look in the mirror and seeing why it is that this label is so scary. And then, yeah, just like looking back and assessing, because you don't ever have to, like, you don't ever have to sleep with a woman if you're bi. You don't have to do that.
That's a really good point, because it sounds like what you might be saying there is that he's having fantasies about women. Like they're still coming into his consciousness, which brings me to another thing that people worry if they're gay, like, oh, I'm a straight man, but I watch gay porn, or vice versa. From women all the time, like, I'm a straight woman, but I watch lesbian porn, as they say. It's like, I was like, great. Good. As long as you know what turns you on, that's awesome. But I think there's another layer of people like, what does it mean? Does it mean I need to act on it? So I would ask you, how do you know? Like, how would you tell people to know if this is just something to keep in their head as a fantasy, or if they're like, I should dabble? Is it when the urge is just too much? Because I think I'd be happy. Many would just be happy just watching the porn. But other people.
I mean, I needed to know for myself. So I think maybe that's like the filter, is like, if you actually want to do
it. You think you're bi, you probably are.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do like stand by that, because if you're stressed about whether or not you're bi, that's a very bisexual thing to do. Like, that's bi culture, is stressing about whether or not you're bi enough.
Yeah. Wait, that makes so much sense, because I think you're going to help so many people by saying this, because let me just put this out there that people, I can never tell sometimes by their emails or their calls because I'm not sitting with them. I don't know. But when people ask me that, I'm wondering, usually I'm like, well, if you're just watching porn, like, no, like, what does the labels matter? Like, because I always take it that way. Like, they're wondering, they're worried or whatever. You're fine. But then I'm thinking, if they take the trouble to sit down and write me an email, maybe they're on the, like, at that point where they're like, it's not just porn. I'm actually thinking about it so much that I'm going to sit down, I'm going to call into your show. I'm going to write you a note, that maybe they are at the place where they're like having that bi angst.
Yeah.
Bi-unks. Is
that
thing?
Bi-unks. My next book.
Right.
I feel
I'm just wondering. Yeah. I just had this thought where I'm like, oh, maybe if they're asking. But then again, maybe that is it for some of the listeners. But in general, if you're just watching, it doesn't have to mean anything.
I think that's a really good point. Like, I mean, it's a good thing for Zach to ask, is like, why is this so, like, something that I'm thinking about so much that I wanted to write about it. And I really do think bisexuality is very scary to people. There's a trope called murderous bisexuals. If you like Jennifer's Body, she's a murderous bisexual. She's the best one, in my opinion. Lady Gaga in American Horror Story, Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. I can't remember the character's name. But all of those people are like murderous bisexual characters. It's a thing. And it's like on tvtropes.com to cite my source.
Wow, murderous bisexual.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good Halloween costume.
Actually, maybe I'll be that. Last year, I was the bisexual IKEA couch, if you've seen that.
No. What's the bisexual? Can we just take a little look at the bisexual IKEA couch?
It was, this year I'm going to be a murderous bisexual. It was like this couch that was designed, like IKEA did a pride partnership with some designers, and it was a couch that was, it was the bisexual couch, and it looked like they had a gay one, they had a lesbian one, and they had the bisexual one, and it was like the colors of the bi flag, which are pink, purple, and blue, which is also very binary and is like something I don't love.
Change that flag.
Yeah. It had these like hands on it. And the hands were like scary to people. And it was just, it was like a Twitter moment.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So wait, what were we saying before that? Murderous bisexual. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much like, I mean, obviously villains being queer coded is like a huge thing. Like there's so many.
It is. I see it
now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many Disney villains that are queer coded. People talk about it in the queer community all the time because it actually has like bearing on our lives, because it's part of the way people like see queer people as like, you know, taking up space and being boisterous and wreaking havoc and like causing drama. It makes sense that the label bisexual is scary. Like that's what you've been told to think. So that's probably another layer of conditioning.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's very enlightening. Yeah. I think this is awesome for everybody listening. And I just want to say one more thing to Zach and everybody who has these fantasies, that I always say there's two kinds of fantasies. And I always feel like whenever you say something like that, I feel like, well, there's a third. But let me just tell you this, is the ones that you want to happen and the ones that you don't want to happen. And it's okay to have the ones in your head that you're just like, I'm just going to think about this and I'm going to think about whatever I want and I'm going to keep it to myself. And it feels really good. It turns me on and it's my thing. It's my go-to. It's my spank bank. I use it for arousal. Done. Like that's great. And it doesn't have to define you, or you don't have to really like worry about that. You don't have to worry about any of them, to be honest. Like, let's all chill out. But then there's the ones that you might want to happen, like meaning you want to act them out with a partner. And so if that's your, you know, fantasy, then maybe we would know that you want to take another step here. So anyway, something to look at, people. Yeah. If there's a third fantasy, let me know.
Hey, Emily, this is Liz from Oklahoma. I identify as a woman and I am bisexual. I am in a straight marriage, so I am married to a man, and our sex life has always been really good. My question is, how do I get my husband to explore the kinks that I am into when he thinks they're weird? For example, I asked him if he would like to bring in another woman into the bedroom, and me thinking what guy would say no to that, my husband did actually say no. But to kind of combat that, I was like, well, it's not a real woman. How about a sex doll that looks like a woman? And so we ordered a sex doll, and have used it 3 or 4 times, but after asking to use it again, my husband now thinks it's weird and awkward. Any tips on helping me with this? I would really like to use it, and I would really also like to be with another woman, but not sure if my husband will go for it. So how do I help my husband understand my kinkiness and how we can maybe, I don't know, do my kinks more often? Thanks for your help. I appreciate you. Love your show. Bye-bye.
I think it's interesting that Liz says that she's bisexual and is facing this challenge from her husband that she wants to be with another woman, and that, like, in addition to the sex doll, like, that doesn't feel really welcomed. Because, as you know, like, I obviously think, like, being bisexual is very important, and to talk about it is very important. So I guess I would wonder how much they've talked about that and, like, what it means. Like, have they talked about it beyond just a behavior? Have they talked about it as a behavior and, like, what it looks like? And I wonder if that could, like, having that conversation could even, like, pave the way to get to the sex doll.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. It seems like they are, you know, they're married, and though he knows that she's bi, but yet there's no space in this marriage for her to actually play with her. She calls it a kink, though. It's interesting. So when we talk about kink, people always think, like, what is kinky? And I'm like, well, it's basically anything beyond missionary. It's probably like, it's if you think you're missionary and you make out, maybe that's conventional. But if kink is pretty much like, even like, oral sex can be seen as kinky. So what I'm saying here is that it sounds like you're in a very straight marriage, that this is something that your partner, there needs to be a lot more opening up here, I think, of just understanding desire and what turns you on and why it's important to be in a relationship, to be able to share each other's turn-ons and to grow together sexually. Because this, to me, like, you're 27 years old. I don't know how long you've been together, but it's going to be like a really, really long life with this relationship if you guys don't both learn how to sort of open up together. I'd want to know what he's into. Yeah. What does he want to explore? Now I'm already hearing him, but he's like, I'm happy with just the way it is, right? But you're not right now. She's not, Liz. So I would say that there's a lot more to share. Like, what is it about, you know, being with a woman or identifying as bisexual? What does it mean to you? Like Jen's point, like, can you go a little bit deeper with that? What are your desires? What are you into? Like, I think it's great that the doll does it for you. There just needs to be more opening here. And I always say, like, create a culture of communication and sex curiosity in your home by listening to other podcasts and, you know, reading books or watching TV that would kind of open up the environment where he might not hear other people talking about this. It might seem very weird. He might have fear around it. Like, like, it sounds like, you know, some partners might feel like that would be really hot to see you with someone else, as we talked about. But some are just like, no, that is cheating. That's going to take away from attraction. So I think there's some confusion here and some education that needs to happen.
Yeah. And actually, like, Bi Visibility Week, Bi Visibility Day is a great chance to, like, be like, remember, I'm bi.
Okay, so what is the call to action?
I mean, for me, the call to action is post a hot selfie on Instagram immediately. But I think it can also be like, hey, it's Bi Visibility Day. Remember a long time ago we talked about that I'm bi? Like, I'm getting more in touch with that. You could be like, I'm reading this great book, Greedy. Slowly but surely, there's a lot stronger bisexual representation in media. And, like, anytime you consume content that, like, they mention bisexuality, it's a great opportunity to, like, be like, oh, you know, I really related to that, or, like, to kind of use that as an opener.
Yeah. Where would you direct people then? Is there anything else that opened you up or some recently that has
become? Yes. I love the show Hacks on HBO. I think it's, like, one of the best, like, bisexual representations I have seen. And they talk about queerness so beautifully and not in an overbearing way at all. It's just, like, additive to the show. I also really love the show Generation on HBO, which was canceled, but I love it. And it has a lot of really strong bisexual conversations. And on that show, there are great flawed bisexual characters, because a lot of times it's like, you want to write a bisexual character who's, like, very straight and narrow, like, not being promiscuous. Like, you don't want to, like, fall into these stereotypes. But bi people are allowed to be human, and it's actually, like, not because of their bisexuality that they're a hot mess. It's just coincidence.
We can all be a hot mess no matter who we sleep with.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's helpful.
Emily. I reached out a little while ago over email, but I couldn't find a time that worked for me on your schedule to have you call me back. My question is, my boyfriend is bisexual, which is great, but the reason that I'm calling with two parts, one is I feel kind of insecure about that, and I just wanted to talk to you about that. And the second part is I am wanting to try anal stuff with him, which I know he's into because he does it to himself, but he doesn't really seem open to having me do it with him. He just kind of says, like, oh, like, you know, that makes me uncomfortable to think about doing it with you. He'll do stuff to me if I want him to, but he's, like, not wanting me to do it to him, and I just feel like that would be a great thing for us to do together. I already know he likes it. So I just was wondering if you have any tips about, like, how to go about that conversation. I've already tried. I think I'm a pretty good communicator, or maybe I should just leave it and not try. So yeah, thanks for your podcast. I really enjoy it. I listen to it a lot, and it's totally helping me, like, kind of realize some things. I'm in my 20s, so just kind of realize some things that I haven't, you know, that I would like to try in my life. So thank you for everything you do.
All right, Lauren, you probably hear that a lot. What about Jen, about feeling insecure and worried that, like, your partner could leave you, be greedy and leave you for anyone, right? So that probably comes up a lot.
That's, like, exactly where that stereotype comes from, for sure. I think it's interesting that in this one, Lauren starts by saying, my boyfriend is bisexual, which is great. So there's, like, some undertone of, like, support and encouragement, which is, like, amazing. You know, that's not always a given. And I think that's really great, and it's awesome to see that. But then the next line is like, I feel kind of insecure about that. So I think it's really nice that there's that acknowledgement that this is a good thing, and then acknowledgement that that is, like, within Lauren to address. I also think this actually comes up a lot in relationships with bisexual men, like this conversation about anal, or, like, this has come up a lot for me personally. I'm not sure that that's something that can be mapped.
We can map it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I believe that if you have a man, you have a penis and you have prostate. And I think that there's a lot of guys who assume that if they stimulate that prostate, that it means something about their sexuality. It makes them gay. It makes them something. And I think I should say this on every show for the rest of my life. And I've said it on a lot of them, but it does not, it just means that it feels really good and you're open to pleasure and you're open to exploration. And I just think it's kind of sad that a lot of guys will never explore that. A lot of men won't. So I just want to say that. That's just my anal thing. However, what's interesting here is that she's like, now I want to do it because I know you like it. So she's feeling a little bit left out. And what I would say, the conversation would go outside the bedroom with your partner, just saying, hey, let's talk about our sex life. Let's talk about things that we're into and that we both want to try. And, like, what would be a big turn on for you? Let me tell you what would be a big turn on for me. Because rather than, like, I think that since you did mention, Lauren did mention that it makes her a little bit insecure, that she's trying to be like, well, then I'll do this and then I'll really please him. I'll do this. But you don't know. Like, maybe he just likes doing it himself. You know, maybe he doesn't actually want you to do that, but he has other fantasies. So I think, rather than making assumptions, and she's never going to win this place if you keep trying to be what you think he wants, just have a conversation with it that's just, like, open. Like, let's agree that we both want to be great lovers to each other. Are you in? Okay, cool. Let's talk about what our big turn-ons are, what that would look like, and what could we do with each other? Because I think she's just kind of, she wants to stay ahead of this bisexual, because anytime he could turn around and be with someone else, you know, be with a man. Like, so she's has these concerns, and I think that let's just in real time figure out what he actually wants and what you guys could do together to play.
Yeah, I love that. I also think, like, maybe he, I don't know if they are open or polyamorous, but maybe he wants to, like, explore connecting and hooking up with other genders. And maybe that's what's not being said when these conversations are happening. Like, when he doesn't want her to do it, like, maybe there's something else that he wants that he almost feels like he's communicated a little bit with by saying he's bisexual, but hasn't, like, fully communicated.
She obviously doesn't have enough information. If you're in a relationship with someone right now and you're confused or you're insecure, that doesn't mean that you're, like, an insane person or, like, I can't believe these feelings, I have to make them go away. I'm going to do everything to make them go away. There's some information there. Like, why are you insecure?
Yeah.
And that's when you have a conversation. And these are all communication skills, which we are not taught in life. So it's okay. But it's like being a good listener, mm-hmm. not attacking them, not saying, like, I know that you're, why are you wanting to be with other men and not with me? But saying, I really want to know a little bit more. These feelings come up for me where I feel like I can't quite be enough for you. And I know you've talked about your bisexuality, but I'd love to know a little bit more about it. Can you tell me about your experience with it? What about it turned you out? Like, Like, and then you have to remember that you have to like breathe and you have to listen and you have to reflect back what you hear. And then that's how she's going to go a little bit deeper. Cause I think you're right. I think there's more to be revealed here, yeah. But she doesn't know enough about his bisexuality.
Yeah. I feel like a broken record. Cause that's like my response to each of these questions is like, talk about your bisexuality with your partner. But it's true because it's so, you know, when I started writing my book, people were like, are you really going to be able to write a whole book about bisexuality? And it was so easy because there's so much to say because it's all about like nuance and personal, like your personal preferences. And like, it's really like, it can unlock some really amazing conversation territory beyond just like who you want to sleep with. And then I'll also say like all the shows I was referencing earlier and like it being Bi Visibility Day, it's a great time for you to start conversations with your partner. Like even if you're not bi, it's a great opportunity to be like, hey, it's Bi Visibility Day. I see you. Hi. Tell me about your bisexuality. Mm-hmm. Like it's a great way in.
They should do something today. They should have a conversation day and read your book. Because this is your book. It's a memoir, really. And you kind of cover so many different of these, so many terrain of the bisexuality terrain that people can kind of like see themselves in this. They will find parts of themselves in your story that might help them feel better about themselves or their partner.
I hope so. Give them peace. I hope it gives people something to talk about if you read it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Greedy notes from a bisexual who wants too much. And Jen, I want to ask you the 5 quickie questions. You don't have to prep for them. Easy, ready? Okay, Jen, what's your biggest turn on?
Food.
What's your biggest turn off?
Anxiety.
What makes good sex?
Communication.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships?
Just have fun.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
That it's supposed to be enjoyable. I didn't know that for way too long.
Such a good one. Okay, thanks, Jen. How can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and I guess TikTok now at Generous with a J. Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful. And it was great to hear from all your listeners.
It was fun, right? Thanks for being here. I appreciate you.
Yay.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.